Britain's Prime Minister heads back to Europe for help selling Brexit at home. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. After a day of confusion, climb down, and moments of chaos in the British Parliament, which saw a vote on the Prime Minister's Brexit deal delayed, many people here just don't know what to think this morning. The uncertainty of what happens next is the only sure bet. Katia Vidlak is a French national who's lived in Britain for 20 years and works for trades union here. She worries what a no-deal Brexit would mean for her rights.
As an example, family reunification rights. At the moment within the withdrawal agreement, I can bring my descendant and ascendant forever, whenever, if my mom needs me to care for her and I need to bring her to the UK in 20 years' time, I can do so. If there's a no-deal, I can only bring my mother up to March 2022. After that, she will need to come under the future immigration rules, which means I'm losing some of that rights.
Katia Vidlak there. As the Prime Minister Theresa May embarks on a hastily arranged European tour, she's seeking assurances on the so-called backstop, which keeps Northern Ireland aligned with the rest of Ireland and the EU in case of a no deal. It also means Northern Ireland is different to the rest of the UK, a situation many lawmakers here oppose. Well, this morning, Jean-Claude Juncker, President of the European Commission, has repeated that this deal is the only one possible. The BBC's Kevin Connolly reports.
The EU's first instinct at difficult moments in political talks like this is not to rethink its position, but to offer reassurance or clarification to its negotiating partner. It's far from clear that technique will work with Brexit, especially as the message in public and private from EU officials and diplomats remains that there can be no real renegotiation. When in Brussels, Mrs. May meets two of the EU's institutional presidents, Donald Tusk and Jean-Claude Juncker, it seems she will find on offer no substantial changes to what's been described as the best and only offer available. In The Hague and in Berlin, Mrs. May is likely to encounter admiration for her indefatigability, but little support for any renegotiation. Underlying it all is the awkward question of whether there's any point in mere tweaks to an arrangement like the Irish backstop, when so many at Westminster find it fundamentally unacceptable.
Kevin Connolly there. Let's do the numbers. Global shares are rebounding after yesterday's delay to the Brexit vote. The pound is higher against the dollar after falling to September 2017 lows. Rupert Harrison of BlackRock says there could be more volatility ahead.
You've got the Brexiteers trying to head for some kind of managed no deal. You've got a centrist group pushing for a sort of Norway plus solution. And then you've got the Labour Party, the Scottish Nationalists and others holding out for an election and a second referendum. And I think the danger from an economic and a market's point of view is that a game of chicken could get pushed to the brink. And I think at that point, you will start to see significantly high levels of volatility.
Meanwhile, India's rupee slumped more than 1% after the head of the central bank resigned yesterday. Regional election uncertainty also weighing on sentiment. Now, after that rupee slump, let's dissect the two big financial stories from India, the Reserve Bank governor resigning, and in Britain, a court ruling that tycoon Vijay Mallya, owner of Kingfisher Beer and a defunct airline of the same name, must be extradited to India. He faces charges related to more than $1 billion worth of unpaid loans. The theme connecting those stories is the flow of money between public sector banks, industrial tycoons, and political parties. James Crabtree is author of Billionaire Raj, a journey through India's new gilded age.
The backbone of India's industrial economy has been crippled by a problem of bad debts, which were built up a little over a decade ago when India's burgeoning tycoon class borrowed an enormous amount of money on projects that, like in Mr. Mallya's case, then often went wrong. So India is only really now recovering from these heady boom days of the middle of the 2000s.
You've met Vijay Mallya. What do you think his return would mean for India?
I mean, I think it would be an enormous circus. Politically, were he to come back, it would be a big victory for Prime Minister Narendra Modi. It has been somewhat humiliating for India's government that they have been trying to get back not just Vijay Mallya, but a number of other prominent errant tycoons who have been sheltering in London.
Now, where do you think the resignation of the RBI governor fits into all of this?
One of the arguments that India's central bank chief has been having with Prime Minister Modi and his government in Delhi is how quickly and aggressively should the central bank be pursuing the recovery of some of these bad loans from tycoons like Mr. Mallya, although not in fact Mr. Mallya. The RBI governor wanted to push forward quite quickly. India's government was less keen on them doing this in the short term because they were worried that this might affect growth in advance of next year's election. So while there are other causes of the dispute between the central bank chief and the government in New Delhi, this has certainly played an important part of the backdrop.
Now, James, as you mentioned, state elections happening now, and we've got the national election next year. What does all of this debt-fueled growth mean for India going forward?
Well, it isn't being sustained, and that's part of the problem. India is yet to recreate a new form of economic model that will allow it to invest sustainably. India's banking system is not in great shape, and so whoever wins the election next year, this is going to be a very prominent problem that needs to be solved. You are not going to get India's economy moving at the speed that its government wants it to be moving without a well-functioning banking system that allows businesses to invest but not go bust in the process.
James Crabtree there, author of Billionaire Raj. Remember, you can get our podcast wherever you get yours. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.